COVID-19.
What is the coronavirus?
What is in the coronavirus?
This is Ask a Doctor, featuring Dr. Judson Somerville.
And I'm the author of the book, The Optimal Dose, Restore Your Health with the Power of Vitamin D3. I also have a website, www.judsonsomerville.com, and a private Facebook group, Vitamin D Advocacy, which I urge you to join. We have a great discussion today. I have the privilege of interviewing Dr. Mark Harris, who is an expert in supplements as well as exercise. He is the first person ever squat 1,000 pounds without use of drugs. He's also was able to help with the work with his daughter who had severe scoliosis, work with a chiropractor, and were able to totally reverse it through exercise. Really amazing person. He also was, the athletic director for the WWE for 9 years. If anybody knows anything about supplements and especially exercise, it's Dr. Harris. Good morning, Dr. Harris.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. And yourself?
I'm good.
Today we're going to talk about vitamin D3 and your thoughts. What first got you interested in vitamin D3?
Well, several years ago, I started reminiscing about my old high school buddies, and I looked up a guy named Judd Somerville and decided to hop in the car and drive down to Laredo and visit him, and that's when it all started. Nice. I never really even thought about vitamin D3 until we had a conversation, and it has literally changed my life.
Nice. What is it about vitamin D3 that helped you so much?
Well, I mean, there's a myriad of things. The one thing is my immune system has finally stepped up to the plate, and we're home runs. I haven't had a cold or a flu or anything. I haven't been sick in, oh my goodness, 4 years. And every spring, I used to have horrible, because of the pollen, horrible allergies. And I don't have any problems at all with that anymore.
Isn't that amazing? That's the thing I found that's probably the most powerful effect of vitamin D3 is on our immune system.
I'm sorry, you broke up me.
Yeah, it's kind of chipping in and out a little bit. To me, the most amazing thing about vitamin D3 is its effect on our immune system.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that vitamin D3 is actually a hormone. And for instance, in encapsulated organisms like COVID, which is we'll talk about today.
Sure.
Who doesn't talk about it? It's critical for the production of what are called defensins, which are a class of proteins that kill encapsulated organisms.
Right.
And if you have vitamin D3, you can't kill them. You know, and a lot of people, they think of vitamin D3 as a static thing, but if you're being attacked by lots and lots of viruses, which seems to be the impression everybody gets us, you're going to use up a lot of vitamin D3.
Yeah, I do. And if you're an active person, weight training or doing cardiovascular exercise on a regular basis, you're utilizing even more. So it's all more reason to up your dose and make sure you're taking enough, because when you're exercising, you're creating a lot of oxidative stress, and the vitamin D3 goes in and executes on it, and but then that leaves you short for your immune system.
did you, with those high performance athletes that you worked with in WWE, I know that a lot of really high performance athletes get ill much more frequently. They seem to be more sensitive. Did you see that?
Yes, I do. I still communicate with several of the guys, and I've told them about the D3, and a couple of them are actually using it. In fact, I upped my dose from 30,000 to 50,000 I use daily, and two of the wrestlers that I'm not going to mention names right now having the same thing, and they've seen tremendous recovery benefits. In other words, they're, and you know, these are guys that are later in their careers, and they're not suffering from damage from the night before as much as they used to. So, and the nice thing about that is, I don't know if many of you know about what wrestlers do, but they're married to the ring and pain pills. And, you know, because you can't fake a 300-pound man flying through the air and landing on concrete. That's real. Yes, it's staged, but those guys get hurt. I mean, I was putching them back together constantly. Dislocated shoulders, fractured wrist, you know, you name it. They were banged up. And these guys do this day after day, two or three times a week. They're on the road, and I was on the road with them no less than 270 days out of the year. And these guys are, you know, instead of going for pain medicines and illegal drugs, they're loading themselves up with vitamin D3, magnesium, boron. There's just a whole bunch of different supplements that we're using now to keep these guys healthy.
Wow, that's fabulous. I mean, there's a recent article that came out that showed that vitamin D3 helped with pain. I think it was in a nursing home, but I wrote a blog post about 2 years ago about how vitamin D3 actually increases your endorphins, your natural painkillers.
Exactly. It also increases dopamine levels.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, like I said, vitamin D is a hormone. It has receptors. And the problem is 30% of people, 40% of obese people have a defect in the vitamin D receptor.
Yep.
For that reason, they will need what I consider the optimal dose, 30,000 units a day. More importantly, your blood plasma level, which is 100 to 140, I think, is optimal. And recently I've come to believe that maybe even better than that is to use a level that keeps your parathyroid hormone in the low normal range.
Well, if you can do that, and I'm sure I'm going to be a guinea pig with that because I have Hashimoto's, and I'm anxious to see the effects. I just started 50,000 I use about 6 weeks ago.
Right.
And I noticed my energy levels are coming up. But Hashimoto's disease is basically, there's benign cysts in the thyroid gland. And I was diagnosed about 15 years ago with Hashimoto's. And I'm also taking non-condescent liquid iodine orally, which dramatically helps. It helps the conversion, helps stimulate TSH that converts T4 to T3, which is the active thyroid. So I have noticed an improvement in my energy levels, and I really never really had any cognitive problems, but I'm more aware, more alert of what's going on around me, and I don't have I don't have as bad of mood swings anymore, so I know it's there's something working.
Yeah, the thing is that I found, and like I wrote about in my book, Well, the three main things I found that vitamin D did was, one is improve sleep.
Yes.
Because when you're, and that's key to recovery, you know, especially for athletes, but anybody, you know, you're healing, because when you're deep, deep asleep, you can be totally paralyzed except for your breathing. And vitamin D controls that, so that if you don't have enough vitamin D, you become more paralyzed, you snore, and more paralyzed sleep apnea, and or less and less paralyzed with restless leg syndrome.
Yeah.
Now, there's two types of sleep apnea. There's what's called central sleep apnea, and I guess just, I've forgotten the term, I guess regular sleep apnea, obstructive sleep apnea.
Right.
A lot of people, because of, I believe, lack of vitamin D, gain weight and develop obstructive sleep apnea.
Exactly.
And I used to do a lot of sleep studies, and I always wondered, what's a central sleep apnea? Well, I think that's the vitamin D deficiency. So vitamin D deficiency gets you in two ways. It, one, gain weight, so you develop obstructive sleep apnea, and two, central sleep apnea. Do you ever have a sleep study done?
Yes, I did years ago, and I was diagnosed with sleep apnea, and I used to sleep with a CPAP machine, but I haven't had a CPAP machine for about 6 years now, and I used to snore like crazy, and my wife, when I finally started taking the iodine and several other supplements, my wife would have to shake me to make sure I was still breathing, because I wasn't snoring anymore.
Wow. Nice. Yeah. And a lot of people, I saw the vitamin D really, really help, because they lost weight, which helped with obstructive sleep apnea. And then they, with the vitamin D levels restored, their central sleep apnea was restored. You know, not in everybody, in a lot of people.
Exactly.
And you work with a lot of people concerning supplements and such, and you know, you've been having them, I believe, take vitamin D3. What have you seen?
Well, the one thing that I've seen, or I've been told by a lot of the people that are taking vitamin D3, their sleep is much deeper. They're recovering better. They're waking up more alert. You know, some of these guys, when they wake up in the morning, it's the hardest thing for them to do is get out of bed. By taking the D3 and the other several other supplements along with it, they're waking up 20, 30 minutes clear and wide awake, and not dependent on coffee to get them going. So I think we're seeing some great improvements in people's overall health, and the immune system is so vital to have a strong immune system now with COVID. I have a mailing list of about 3,500 people, and I'm getting feedback all the time. It's like, people are talking about, the fear catching COVID or anything, and then I've had several people reach out to me and tell me, it's like, you know what, I am so grateful that you expressed the importance of vitamin D3, because I came down with COVID. And you think, well, it didn't do any good, did it? Yes, it did. I don't care who you are and how strong your immune system is, or if you've had been vaccinated, you're going to get COVID. It is just almost impossible not to catch it if you're exposed to it. The thing is if your immune system is strong enough, it can control it and shut it down. I contacted COVID back January, because I do health evaluations, and I see on a monthly basis, I see at least 2,000 people a month for their health evaluations. And I'm exposed to a lot of disease, and we've had, all different types of people with different levels of COVID, and I caught it, and I didn't really realize what was going on But 3 days into it, I had a dry hacking cough and a low grade fever, and that's about it. And it got worse.
It didn't get worse, you said?
No, it did not.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think people would be surprised that if they check their antibodies, that they actually, like you say, were exposed. I mean, we live in a environment full of germs, and we become, as I listened to one podcaster say, germophobes, you know? And we need germs to develop a strong immune system and to keep healthy, and by isolating ourselves and not exposing ourselves to other people, we're not going to build up our immune system.
No.
And then when we get exposed to somebody, you know, a bunch of people, we're going to have a lot of illness. And
the worst thing you could ever do is fall victim to the mask ploy. The mask it's counterproductive. It does far more damage than it does good. You're breathing your own bacteria. You're retributing your own germs that you're expelling through your nose. So you get a bacteria buildup in your nose and on that mask. And when you handle mask, you know, it's breathable. So when you're grabbing it and moving it on your face, you're picking up the bacteria off that mask and in your hands, and you're handling everything else. So, and I've noticed so many people out there, you know, that it's like, oh, why are you wearing this mask? You know, it's like the little circle masks that you get, the little blue ones from the hospital, they're good for maybe 30 minutes. Then they need to be discarded. I've got people that work at some places we call on, they've been using the same mask for 2 months. So you can imagine what kind of bacteria buildup they've got on that nose, on that mask. It's horrible. So, I don't know why I got off on that, but it's one thing that really, I'm sorry, it just grosses me out. People wearing these masks all day long, day after day. And you see the people going down the street in a car by themselves wearing a mask. I just don't get it.
Yeah, it's really a shame, you know, that the really important things, for instance, vitamin D3 and building up your own immune system. I mean, whether you get the vaccine or not, you know, that's your decision, you know?
It's exactly.
Kind of like the same people that are telling me I should get a vaccine are the same ones that believe that a woman has a right to choose whether or not she has an abortion. That's her decision. You know, and you're fighting for that, but you're telling me I have no decision whether or not I get a vaccine. You know, I that's hypocrisy, you know.
In its grandest form.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you could say I'm an idiot, and that's fine. But all of a sudden I have people that have watched the news. It's kind of like the people that stay at Holiday Inn Express. Remember the commercial? They stayed there and then they're an expert. You know, I have people that have no medical training, haven't even graduated from high school, and are telling me, giving me medical advice, you know, about why I should get the vaccine, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, I'm glad you have a strong opinion about it, but I'm not an idiot because I choose otherwise. That's my decision, you know? And
well, what they're missing the boat on is the most effective way to fight this, strengthen your immune system. And one of the main ways to strengthen your immune system is through herd immunity. You know, and if you're masking your face and you're avoiding people, you're not being exposed to herd immunity.
Yeah, you're not getting all the other bugs and building up your immune system like you would if you, you know, are being around other people. And, you know, there's some misconceptions. I mean, the vaccine was meant to reduce symptoms. It was never meant to prevent the virus, you know, or people getting infected. And for people that have depressed immune systems, you know, and are at risk, you know, I fully understand the reasoning behind why they should get them. But why you should give a 15-year-old a vaccine, you know, that just, that doesn't really, unless they have immune, you know, suppression, but a healthy, robust young 15-year-old, you know, I mean, if you do, it's your decision. But the one thing they need for sure is vitamin D3.
Well, I don't know if you wanted to get into this or not. I'm just going to brush on it. But you are permanently damaging your immune system by taking those shots. Your immune system is designed to attack multiple types of viruses and bacteria. But once you take the synthetic RNA, it specifically targets the proteins that are causing the COVID bacteria, and it will definitely attack those spike proteins. But if it's a variant like the Wuhan or whatever they're called, the different variants, if it's a different variant from the original, your immune system's not going to recognize it, and it's going to go untouched.
Yeah, apparently there's four different main antigens of the COVID virus, from my understanding, and there may be more, but I believe there's four main ones. Again, I could be wrong, but you know, they've developed these RNA viruses just to one, which is the antigen or one of the antigens on the spike protein. And the problem is, from what I understand, there's a new variant of the virus that's come out that's totally that no longer has that antigen.
Exactly.
Vaccine no longer works. Fortunately, from what I understand, it's not as virulent, which means as deadly, as the other variants of the COVID virus. But it still, you know, you have no immunity to that variant. And I bet it's going to spread quickly, because whereas before there was some immunity with the vaccine, so you basically had only the people that didn't have the vaccine were probably more susceptible to having more serious disease. Okay.
Yeah.
Particularly immune suppressed. But now with a variant that doesn't respond to the vaccines, you basically have the whole population that is a potential, you know, potentially could be infected by this new variant. So, I mean, it all comes back to boosting your system, immune system, with vitamin D. Now, there's a lot of studies out there that say vitamin D is does nothing, doesn't work. And I guess the thing I always say to people is, why would somebody spend so much money doing so many studies to show something doesn't work?
Exactly.
I don't know, but who has lots of money and who has something to gain? Because, you know, basically I see vitamin D as being able to help reduce your chance of getting, you know, basically all the diseases of aging.
Exactly. You know, here's the biggest issue I have with this whole pandemic or made a pandemic. What's the survival rate of the normal human with COVID? 99.997%. Okay.
Right.
The regular flu or any of the different variants of the flu virus is far deadly. Okay. A lot more will die from the flu than have died from this pandemic of COVID. The only difference between the flu and COVID is it's a lot more contagious. It's much easier to spread. But 99.997% of people survive. When if you look at that, there's so many people here in the United States, and what they're not telling you is, well, the people that are dying have immune diseases, diabetes, they have cancer, they have, but they diagnose, they tell you, it's like, You go to the hospital because you got a broken toe, and you end up being diagnosed with full-blown COVID, and when you die, they they put you down as a COVID victim. So, you know, it's just really sad that this is more of a political pandemic and a financial pandemic than it is anything else.
My understanding is that if you go to the hospital and they diagnose you with COVID, they get an extra $13,000.
Exactly. So I'll just follow the money. You know, who's paying for that? We, the taxpayers, are paying that.
It doesn't make sense, does it? It really doesn't. Why there's so much pressure for people to get a vaccine, yet there's no talk about building up your own immune system. It's almost like, you know, your body doesn't exist. God doesn't exist. You know, we have a phenomenal body, and whether you believe in God or not, and it's designed to fight off infections. And, you know, if we become to the point where we're so dependent on pharmaceuticals to support our life, we've really lost our freedom.
Exactly.
And I mean, you know, I think it's more than just an issue of building up your immune system. I think it's an issue of who controls your body, you know. And I know lots of women have fought for their right to control the body. I think basically we all have a right to control our bodies, what's put into it. And, you know, it's really getting, it's getting scary, you know?
Yeah. If you look at what's going on in Australia versus the rest of the world right now, if it's allowed to go through like it's through there, we're all doomed, because those poor people in Australia, they're basically locked up. You know, they can't go anywhere. They can't do anything. They're stranded at home. It's really bad in there. So God forbid that gets up here. But it seems as though our democratic government is doing everything they can to push the button to get us to conform.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's people in both parties, unfortunately, it seems. And I understand. I mean,
the only reason I said Democrat is because that's who's in charge right now.
I don't have an issue with that, because clearly our president is Democratic. It's just unfortunate that, and I understand they're not doctors, so they listen to the medical experts, but you know,
and it goes one ear and out the other.
You know,
if you watch the news, there's such misinformation being distributed on a daily basis about COVID and any other diseases out there, and they're telling people. I have yesterday, one of the newsers here in Dallas said, "Folks, you got to get that COVID vaccine to keep you from getting COVID." And I wanted to call those TV stations and say, "Look, you're misinforming everybody. It will never stop you from obtaining the COVID virus. You will be exposed to the COVID virus, and based on how well your immune system responds and how well the vaccine responds determines whether or not you're hospitalized or not." You know, you can't tell people, "Oh, I'm vaccinated and I'm not going to get COVID." Lies, lie, lie. You can't stop the COVID virus.
I mean, nowadays, everybody's a medical expert, you know?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. A lot of people don't realize this, but the common cold is a COVID virus. And they have that. How long is it? Oh, you can't cure the common cold. How many times have you heard that? And I know you're a doctor, and I know you've heard that. But there's no cure for the common cold. Okay. Well, why does there need to be a cure for something that's not going to do anything but give you a sore throat and a runny nose? Well, it'd be nice if we had stuff that you a magic pill that it's like, okay, I take this pill, I'm never going to get sick again. Ha ha ha! It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. So,
hey,
my
Mark,
thoughts. Yeah.
Mark your cameras up on the top of your head.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at a blank screen. I don't know. I don't know where I'm at.
All right.
Can you see me now?
Yeah, that's much better.
Okay. Anyway, I lost my train of thought. Where are we?
Common cold you were talking about.
Oh, yes. The common cold is a COVID virus. Another thing, cattle, livestock come down with COVID all the time. And we used to vaccinate our cattle with a COVID vaccine. For years we did that. And guess what? Cattle won't just stand still and take a shot. They jump around, bounce around. And yes, there have been times that I accidentally stuck myself with that syringe. So I don't know. my veterinarian that our family deals with the ranch told me, he goes, well, you probably had so much COVID vaccine, you're immune to it anyway. I don't know. I'm just... Yeah. But COVID is nothing new. It's been around for centuries.
Yeah.
It's just these new variants of COVID they're man-made. They were made in a lab. They weren't extracted from a bat. They weren't they're not from nature. They're man-made, and they're mutating, and they can't control it. You can't change the mutation. So we're going to end up with 50 different booster shots because there's 50 different variations of the virus.
Yeah. Interesting. There's over 100 different types of viruses that cause flu-like symptoms. And at least based on one study in the ER, only 18% were influenza, you know?
Yeah.
Yet we got the flu vaccine. And the flu vaccine some years is only 10% effective. So if 18% of the cases are influenza and it's only 10% effective, that means that year it only helped 1.8% of the people, you know, possibly avoid getting the flu. I mean, you know, and the best year 60%. So basically, if you get a flu shot, you have, you know, 1 in 10 chance, 10% less likelihood of contracting the flu, you know, which is kind of crazy too. I mean, I guess it gives people some reassurance, but what I found, and I spent a whole textbook chapter on it, was that by taking optimal doses, and again, this is not medical advice, work with your doctor, ideally work with your doctor, hopefully they're open-minded, but what I found was, not a single person got the flu again. Not a single person. I mean, to me, that was incredible because you never find something that's 100%.
And,
you know, it's like I wrote in my book, once you get out into the real world and other people take it all over the world, you're going to find people with genetic defects or whatever that won't respond as well. Like I say, the vitamin D receptor problems or the intracellular machinery that activates vitamin D. I forgot to mention that earlier, is another aspect of the 30 plus percent that have a defect in their ability to use vitamin D3. You know, I read something in Science a while back. The director of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation said, if we only knew what caused the flu to be more frequent in the winter. And I laughed. I wrote him a letter, a copy of my book. Never heard back. You know, there was a famous, I think, English physician. I've forgotten his name now. And he was the first one, to my knowledge, that came up with the theory that it was vitamin D3 was the reason that the flu was so much more common in the winter, you know, and you don't essentially get it in the summer. The curious thing is in parts of the world where they have a rainy season in the summer, where they don't get much sunlight for several months, they have a flu season.
Exactly. So it's all based on sun exposure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just that little bit of sun that people get can make enough of a difference in their vitamin D levels to prevent flu, you know? And, yeah. And what do they tell us? Avoid the sun and wear sunscreen.
It's amazing how that works, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I understand. But, and again, this is anecdotal, but I was developing skin cancer, and my brother was too. And since he's been taking optimal doses, it's gone away.
Right. Well, I like to sunbathe. I sunbathe year round. And, you know, when I say sunbathe, I'm out there full exposure for 30 minutes. I don't stay any longer than 30 minutes. I never get burned. I'm just converting a lot of healthy sunlight into some good effective vitamin D for myself. But the funny thing is, when I started taking vitamin D3, I had my blood levels tested, and I was so low. I was like 15. And I took it for a year at 30,000 IUs. It started for a full year, and you would think my D3 levels would be through the roof. But I was at 54.
Wow.
So, yeah, and it took me another year to get it up to 75. And then I gave up and said, okay, obviously the 30,000 IUs is not enough for me. So I increased it to 50,000. And now I'm sitting at 98.
Right.
I'm almost there.
Almost in what I consider a range, 100 to 140. It's just, I mean, everybody's different. And I just use the dose as a general, because I found that for most people, it got them in that range. And, you know, you start making it too complicated, people, kind of their eyes glaze over and they lose interest. And ideally, that's why you work with a doctor. Medical professional that knows about this, educated themselves about it, and keeps, you know, like I say, your vitamin D level in that range. But more importantly, I've realized your parathyroid levels in the low normal range, which essentially tells me that you're taking enough vitamin D that you're not having to absorb excess calcium.
Right. And that right there alone has convinced me, because my calcium levels considerably dropped, and they were high, and they considerably dropped, not just because of the D3, but loading myself with magnesium and boron also helped. So I'm real happy with what I've received so far from the high dose of vitamin D3. My next goal is just a little bit past Thanksgiving. I'm going in to have my blood work done again, because that at that point in time, I've been on 50,000 IUs for about 5 months, and I'm hoping to see somewhere upwards of 140.
Nice. Yeah, so, people get really overly concerned about some quote-unquote vitamin D toxicity.
One in a million, or one in 3 million, maybe, might have a problem with it. I noticed a lady. I was reading on your in your D3 group on Facebook, and she was taking 20,000 IUs. And I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think she had levels up around 200.
Right.
Do you remember seeing that?
Yes.
And she cut it down to 10,000 IUs, and she was fine. So some people are much more receptive to it. But someone like myself that works out on a regular basis, you know, strict training, I utilize much more D3 than the normal person. So I have to take more to maintain higher levels. But obviously for this woman, I don't know, she didn't say how big she was or how, you know, how tiny she was, but a much lighter dose for her was much more effective than a higher dose for me.
it's interesting that anecdotally in the few studies they published where people had an industrial, where there was an industrial accident, they overdosed the patient. They were getting like 875,000 units a day in one of them. I think it was some kind of Haitian supplement. And even the people that set the standards realized this, that it takes at least 300 nanograms per ml blood level to start developing hypercalcemia. And in the studies, you know, or in the case reports where people overdose, once their levels got down below 400, their hypercalcemia resolved.
Yeah.
So basically that tells me it takes a level of approximately 400 nanograms per ml to develop hypercalcemia. Over in Europe, they use nanomoles per liter, which is 2.5 times higher. So that would be a level of close to 1,000 nanomoles per liter. I mean, that's way, way, way different than a level that's in the hundreds.
Right. Well, the thing I tell you, because everyone that I've talked to, the most common response is like, oh, but D3 is so toxic. It's so toxic. And I'm going, says who? Where are you getting this information? You know, because, you know, I'm taking 50,000 IUs, and a regular medical doctor that's nonconformist to regular, to healthy medicines or supplementation, he'll have a stroke and tell you, you've got to stop that. You're going to kill yourself. And that's where the fear comes in. You know, they scare people into believing what they're doing is bad for themselves.
Right.
And it's not. It's not. Folks, I can't tell you enough. I can't tell you. D3 is safe and effective, except for a very, very, very rare few people. And that's why Dr. Somerville and myself are always telling you, get your levels checked before you start, and get your levels checked 90 days, 180 days, 270 days, till you find you've hit your optimal dose. Don't just guess it. You know, it's like the first time I did it, I was very apprehensive, don't get me wrong, because I fell victim to the same thing that most of you people fall victim to. I listened to my doctor. You know, so you live and learn. You know, you can make mistakes and learn from them, or you can grieve about it and live in fear. And when you live in fear, you're trapped. So yeah. You know your body. Most of us understand how we feel. And if you're feeling better and you're feeling more energetic and your immune system is optimal, then why wouldn't you take it?
Well, here's the thing, Mark, and that they forget to tell people is that if you're starting to develop hypercalcemia, you will feel it. You feel worse, you feel foggy brain, you're constipated, you have bone pain. I mean, it's not like, well, you know, I started taking it and I felt so much better. I might be poisoned. It's kind of like, it kind of bleeds into the myth that, like steroids, okay? People take steroids, they have more strength, they feel better. And the end, it ends up whacking, okay? It ends up causing health problems. Vitamin D, it doesn't just sneak up on you. You either have a problem or you don't have a problem, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, we're emphasizing D3, but there are other supplements that you really need to take if you're going to take the higher levels of D3. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Magnesium is crucial to taking vitamin D3 and controlling your calcium levels. So I'll leave it at that and let you expound upon it.
Well, boron over in Israel, they have a almost 0% incidence of osteoarthritis. And the only reason they have any is because of immigrants. But the reason they have such a low level is they have a very, very high level of boron in their water and soil. So they get lots and lots of boron. What does boron do? It strengthens your bones. Now,
exactly.
As my friend Robbie Jolly likes to say, you want it like a green twig, not a dry, brittle twig. And without boron, your bones basically are brittle. But when you take, and so what happens is when you have shock, even in younger people, you know, like pounding, all that pressure goes across your trying to get the light back on here, goes across your cartilage and damages your cartilage. Whereas when you have enough boron, your bones are much more flexible, much more bendable, and they absorb the shock so much better that it doesn't get transferred to your cartilage and break it down, and you end up with osteoarthritis.
Right. And the magnesium you take is, I don't know, I recommend you take as much as your body can stand, and you take it up to the level where your stomach is upset a little bit and then back off it. Magnesium is so important for hormonal functions, and it's real important to get the right magnesium. And you, whatever you do, do not take magnesium oxide. Or you're going to be sitting on the toilet a mighty long time. I would highly recommend one of two is magnesium citrate or magnesium glycinate. Those are the two that I take. And I take about, just so you know, I take about 2,000 milligrams a day. And most people, it's like, 2,000 milligrams, you'd be sitting on the toilet forever. No, the glycinate for me actually doesn't cause any bowel irritation at all. So, but the functions of the magnesium far exceed the negative side effects, in my opinion, but I don't have any ill side effects with glycinate. So you know when you're taking magnesium, you start with magnesium citrate, then you can go to magnesium glycinate if the citrate's messing your stomach up, and then there's magnesium aspirate. So there's 5 or 6 different types of magnesium, and all of them have different absorption levels and have different effects on the body.
Right. Well, what a lot of people don't realize is that magnesium is your body's angiolytic. I just threw in that big term so you knew that I kind of knew something. But basically, it acts like Valium. Now, I'm not saying stop taking your Valium or anything like that. But what it does do is it calms you. It relaxes you. A lot of people have difficulty getting to sleep, take magnesium. You know, another way to use it is topically. Now, I don't have any experience, really, very little experience using it topically.
I use magnesium oil on my ankles and my knees.
Yeah. Some people take baths and Epsom salt, absorb it through their skin that way. But the whole point is it helps relax you. It also helps reduce your risk of a cardiac arrhythmia, another fancy word, but basically a heart attack from abnormal electrical activity in your heart. A third of people die from cardiac arrhythmias, you know, heart attacks.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean it will save everybody, but why not do everything you can to reduce risk? You know, I mean, every now and then you hear of some young guy, you know, in their 40s, 30s even, all of a sudden just drop dead. And typically that's a cardiac arrhythmia.
Exactly. And last but not least on the additional supplementation would be K2 MK7.
Yes. And there's some controversy. My friend of mine who's taken it and has found that the arterial stiffness increased in him at doses above 100 mcgs a day, micrograms a day, which was really unusual because for me, and I don't measure my arterial pulse velocities, but it, to me, it seemed to help reduce, you know, any arterial issues I had. And personally, I think that does it in the majority of people. But again, that's a reason to work with your doctor, because you may be one of those people that if you take doses above 100 mcgs a day of the vitamin K2, the MK7 type, I know it gets complicated, but stick with it, because the more you do, I'm not talking to you, but just the general population, you know, vitamin D3, vitamin K2, MK7, you know, all this stuff, you know, it's just like, forget it. I just want to give up, you know?
Yeah, it becomes very confusing to most people when you start, you know, K2, MK7, or MK4. I don't recommend the MK4, I recommend the MK7. Reason being, I've had a lot of feedback over the years about the MK4 causing joint pain, knees and elbows.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. Some people do have issues with side effects when they take the vitamin K2. And again, it's a fat-soluble vitamin, you know, the thing that they try to warn us about as far as that goes.
Right.
You know, there's a lot to know, and hopefully your doctor, one that studies it, and it's involved with it, because it really, really is so important to your health, you know?
Well, you know, here's what I'm going to recommend everybody do. Not just, don't take our word for it. Although we're above the average on education as far as this is concerned, but do your own due diligence. You have a computer, you have Google, you can do all the medical research you want. It's at your fingertips with your computer. So go out there and start doing good, honest research. You can pull up medical studies, you can pull up university research papers, white papers. There's all kinds of things that are available at no charge to you to do your own homework. That way you can satisfy yourself, and you're going to get what I hope and pray to be the absolute truth with their findings.
I couldn't have said it better, because, you know, there's so many people out there, and I find there's so much misinformation, you know, that you have to go and do your own research. You know, you have a brain, and I mean, what is your health worth? You know, I argue that if you don't optimize your health, you're going to end up being basically dependent on pharmaceuticals at some point and for the rest of your life. I mean, potentially costing thousands of dollars a month.
Exactly.
As I used to tell patients, I want them to live to 120, because at that time, that's the longest we thought the person could live, the optimal length of their life. I want you to live to 120 and then totally healthy and then drop dead.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and here's the thing. I'm 60 years old. Yes, I do have, and I abused myself back when I was much younger, and I started coming down with gout when I was about 30 years old. So I've had gout half my life. I get really violent episodes every once in a while. And I know what's doing is, you know, purine levels are elevated, and I dehydrate myself and not drinking enough water. Shame on me. It's my fault. Right. But, you know, bottom line is I've been able to manage gout, which is a very, very acute form of and painful form of arthritis. It's quick. I can't spit it out. Crystallization of uric acid. It's like glass shards, glass slivers in your joints, and it's excruciatingly painful. You can't even, like, if you're laying in bed and somebody comes in and picks up sheet and lays it back down on you, it'll make your skin crawl. It hurts so bad. But I've managed to control it with a simple, very simple, very cheap, very inexpensive sodium bicarbonate, baking soda, and lemon juice. I mix lemon with water and a tablespoon of baking soda, and I drink that. I do that twice a week, and it keeps my gout under control. The allopurinol that they give you for gout, I had gout chronically. It never went away. It was low grade. It was something that I could manage, but I don't like being in pain 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So, you know, there's so many. I'm sorry I got off on a tangent with this, but the bottom line is, had I done my research much earlier, I wouldn't have near the problems that I've had, because I let gout go unchecked for years before I did anything about it. And who's to blame for that? Me. I'm not blaming doctors. I'm blaming. I had the opportunity to do my own research. I didn't do it. But I'm on top of everything now. I'm allergic to pain. I don't like it.
Right, right, right. Now, I totally understand. And you know your body best. And
exactly.
The doctor willing to work with you, you know, because you need that medical expertise. But there are so many, what is it? I mean, you, as they say, you are what you eat. And,
yep.
You know, what you put into your body is critical to how well it functions. And it just so happens that there are some things in addition to pharmaceuticals that can really help reduce, you know, the chances that you're going to need them and how much you need. You know, that's for you and your doctor to decide, if possible. But, you know, your doctor needs your help. And the more you're educated, the more, because like Mark says, you know your body better than anybody. And they can't help you if you're not, you know, forthcoming with them. And the more you understand, because what happens so often is it's kind of like in the Bible, they try to explain things and it doesn't make any sense to our modern ears because they don't have the language. Well, a lot of times when you're trying to explain something to your doctor, you know, you explain it in terms you understand, but they're not medical terms. And unfortunately,
exactly,
blow you off and they say, oh, well, you know, it can't feel like you've got scorpions in your head. You know, what kind of crazy talk is that? That's how you understand what you are feeling. And a really good doctor will understand that. And that's what they were trained to do. That's why they typically have a higher intelligence. And why they've trained so long and spent so much time is to be able to interpret what you're saying and convert it to
exactly
medical terms to help you.
Yeah. It's like, this is what I tell people. It's like, you're going to go into a guy that speaks a completely different language than you do, and you're going to have to explain it the best you can in your own language, and he'll interpret it. So it's like, it's a learning process. You got to get with a doctor that's willing to listen to you. Okay. If you're on an HMO, those guys work by numbers and volume. So an HMO doctor, you're lucky if you see him for 5 minutes. They're in and out. And all they're going to do is write you a script. And here's what prescription medicines do. They treat the symptoms. They never get to the cause of the symptom. So if you want to get treated with get your symptoms treated, and you don't change up your nutrition, and you change up your supplementation, you're going to continue to have that problem forever. So you start doing your own education and start finding out foods that you know, and most diseases start with inflammation. Okay, so start eating foods that help reduce inflammation. Omega-3s versus omega-6. If you go to a fast food restaurant and you're eating french fries and hamburgers, you are saturating your body with omega-6s, which cause inflammation, arthritis, IBS, Crohn's disease. You're poisoning your body. You know, rats eat rat poison because it tastes sweet, but it's going to kill them. And you look at it this way, it's like, I'd be stupid if I eat rat poison. You're eating rat poison going into that restaurant. You know, that's the problem. It's just not killing you as quick as it does the little mouse. You've had chronic inflammation. Start doing your homework, folks, and look at the food labels and do enough research to avoid foods and oils and stuff that cause inflammation, and start taking on the supplements and the foods that help reduce inflammation, and that will make a huge difference in your life and in your health.
Yep. Well, Mark, it's been fabulous. I really appreciate you getting on today with me and talking about my favorite subject, vitamin D3. You know, your company's Texas Metabolics. I think it's www.texasmetabolics.com, if I'm not mistaken, and they can check out more information about you there.
And if you want to send me an email and you want my to be on my email list, because I send out emails multiple times a week. I send emails out on food. I'm working this week. I've got a series on emotions, negative emotions, and their impact on your health. I often put out stuff to help reduce inflammation. I put out stuff to help build muscle, to help ease with joint pain. There's all kinds of things. You'll say, hey, this is, I listen to you on Dr. Somerville's podcast. I want to be on your email list. It won't cost you a penny. It won't cost you a penny. Anytime you want off it, just send me an email and say stop.
Yeah.
If you disagree with what I say, but let's put it to you this way. I make a living, a very comfortable living, off of keeping people healthy and keeping them from having to use their medical insurance. I work with a large group up here in Dallas, Houston. I'm sorry. Hello.
You're slipping down on the screen. We're just seeing the top of your head.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, I work with a large corporate entity, and I have managed to save that company over the last 10 years millions of dollars in insurance costs, because the employees are not utilizing the insurance as much because they're not getting sick anymore. So, if you like what I have to say, continue to, I'll put you on my email list, and I'll take you off when you want to be taken off, but it will never cost you a penny. And I recommend supplementation all the time, and 99% of the time you can get those supplements from Amazon.
Yeah. That's a nice thing, is you're not trying to sell people supplementations. What's your email address? You were going to give us your email address.
It's markmeeris@gmail.com.
Say that again. It broke up.
Oh, well, this one is texasmetabolics@gmail.com.
Okay. texasmetabolics@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Mark. All right, guys. This is my book, The Optimal Dose. You can find it on Amazon or through any bookstore. I also have my website, where I have a blog. I have some of the other podcasts I've done, which is JudsonSomerville.com. And you can also join my private Facebook group, Vitamin D Advocacy. And on my website, I don't sell any vitamins. There's no sign-up required. And, free information. But again, do your own research. Mark, as always, great to talk to you.
Thank you. Pleasure. I enjoyed it. Bye-bye.
and be sure to pick up your copy of The Optimal Dose, Restore Your Health with the Power of Vitamin D3 on Amazon or Audible.